Pastor Stanley, for those kind comments. Let's pray before you sit down. Heavenly Father, what an army of men and women who love you and seek to serve you. We pray that these last 2 days of this conference will leave a mark on their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take your seat. It's a joy to be with Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, because we started Great Commission Church the same year with Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry. And we have all been steadily monitoring each other. Thank you for the pulpit. Even though I have been given freedom to speak on any topic on leadership, I want to use the first part of this message to talk about Jesus Christ, the greatest leader. And then after that, we shall zero into integrity. And God willing, tomorrow, I will speak about the pitfalls and challenges in Christian leadership, and share with you what I have seen over these 40 years in ministry. It is amazing when you go onto the internet to see that when they write 50 of the world's greatest leaders, they don't name Jesus Christ. And I want to establish that by far the greatest leader who has ever walked this earth is Jesus Christ. Because as I speak now, 33% of the whole world have signed up to be Christians. It's the largest religion in the world. The second largest is Islam, 24%. Then we have Buddhism, Hinduism, 15%, 7%. You must understand that Jesus ministered only for 3.5 years. For 30 years, he was not known. He ministered only for 3.5 years, and he died at 33.5. Muhammad died at 61, and Buddha died at 80, after over 40 years of ministry. For a man who was born in a manger, he had no university education. He had no political title. He never, you know, was involved with guns, cutlasses, and machetes. His tools, the people he worked with, were fishermen and ordinary tax collectors. But within 3.5 years, he was able to so impact them and impact this world that for 2,000 years now, the world has not recovered from his visit. Show me a man. Show me one individual. Let it be Harvard University. Let it be Oxford or Cambridge. Bring them. If it is easy to train such people in any of the universities, why is Lagos not producing such leaders? We need to understand that, look, till today, the New Testament is the most widely read book in the whole of the universe. It has over 3,000 translations into different languages as I stand here now. Jesus. There is no competition. There is no doubt. Even if you are not a Christian, you are forced to bow to the fact that the words of Jesus, 2,000 years now, we are in 21st century, with all our computer, our internet and communication system, he is the most quoted human being. More songs are composed in his name. Books are written in his name. Chapels are built to him. People are named Emmanuel after him as much as possible than any other human being. More people are prepared to die for him than for anybody. I say this because even as Christians, the temptation is there to, you know, look to other people and places for leadership than to Jesus Christ. Sometimes I'm amazed, you know, world gurus in leadership like John Maxwell and so on, and they don't quote Jesus and they don't give his examples, and they would rather give football, you know, give as if you cannot put Jesus beside Obama, Kwame Nkrumah, Nelson Mandela, Julius Caesar, who? Charlemagne, Napoleon Bonaparte, Martin Luther King. When you are calling leaders and you don't call Jesus, you haven't started. So I desire that the Christian force and the leadership team of all Christians should begin to focus afresh on Jesus in a way that leadership will be by Jesus, with Jesus, through Jesus, to Jesus, and for Jesus. He himself said in John chapter 12 verse 32 that I, when I'm lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So I am not ashamed to quote Jesus when we are talking about leadership. The second thing I normally like to use to clear my throat is the Bible. The Bible. You know, if we cannot convince ourselves that the Bible is God's truth, then we have failed the battle. The reason is simple. I'm not going to try to convince all of you tonight, but let me do a little. You see, the Jesus who bought you with his blood believed the Bible. Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, Jesus told Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It means Jesus believed the written word of God. And he quoted it to Satan, the world's second greatest spiritual power. Are you with me? Yeah. And Satan also quoted the Bible to Jesus. He said, jump, because it is written. He will give his angels charge of you. In their hands, they will carry you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus' reply was, it is written again. That's Matthew chapter 4, verse 7. Now, what that means is that even if Satan quotes the Bible, it's not an issue of, no, get away, you Satan to quoting the Bible. It's an issue of quoting another appropriate Bible verse to smash what Satan is quoting. Because there is no authoritative book stronger than the Bible, even before Satan, to stop him. Anybody who doesn't believe the Bible is a senior brother of Satan. Because even Satan believes the Bible. And when it is quoted to him, he stops his temptation and goes to another one. There is no witch in your hometown which is more powerful than the Bible. You need to understand that God does not lie. Numbers 23:19 says that God is not a man to lie, or the son of man to repent. Has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken? Will he not bring it to pass? And Titus chapter 1 verse 2 says, God that cannot lie. 1 Samuel 15:29. He says, the strength of Israel will not lie. He is not a man to repent. So, when God speaks, he doesn't lie. And that is strong enough for us to believe the scripture. But in addition, when God spoke to Abraham and promised him, he swore on top of what he said. And Hebrews chapter 6 from verse 13 to 16. You are welcome, sir. We are told that when men are fighting and quarreling, you took my mobile phone, I didn't take it. You took my mobile phone, I didn't take it. And you say, I swear by Asante Hines too. Then you have said your final by swearing. Therefore, when God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 22 from verse 15 to 18, he said, Abraham, Abraham, by myself I swear that in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply your seed like the stars of heaven and the sand upon the seashore. Your seed will possess the gates of their enemies. And Hebrews is commenting. He says that when men are swearing, they swear by somebody greater than themselves. But God, when he looked up, there was nobody greater than himself. So he swore by himself. So that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we those who have come to seize the promise of salvation, we should have confidence, because God cannot break his word to us. That's the second reason why the Bible is reliable. But the third is what I have told you. Jesus believed the Bible. I have no business doubting what my Lord believed. Any Christian who doubts the Bible is a traitor. You are a Judas Iscariot. You are a betrayer. You, because the blood that bought you, the man who bought you, he believed the Bible. You who have been bought, you don't believe the Bible he believed. Are you not a traitor? Yeah. So, Jesus believed the Bible. But the fourth important thing is that God used the blood of Jesus to seal the new covenant. In Matthew 26, from verse 26, he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. It was shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Therefore, the truth is that the New Testament is a covenant. It's not just a promise. And it's a covenant signed by the blood of God's Son. Therefore, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Now, what has God done? God raised Jesus from the dead and made him King of kings, Lord of lords, and gave him all authority in heaven and on earth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bow, and every tongue should confess Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know what that means? Our current president, when he was campaigning, he told Ghana that if you vote for me, free SHS. Therefore, when Ghanaians gave him their nod and voted for him and gave him the authority, now he's giving us free SHS. Do you get the point? Every word Jesus uttered when he was campaigning before his resurrection is now getting established, because God told him, sit at my right hand till I make all your enemies your footstool. The Bible cannot fail. The day the Bible fails, heaven fails, the throne of God fails, everything must turn upside down. It is the most reliable document in the whole universe. So, I quote the Bible without apology. I don't apologize to anybody, and I don't care what you think about it. The burden of proof is on you, not on me. Since it is the world's bestseller, it's the most read book. If you don't read it, you are illiterate. Oh yeah, it's like saying you are a professor of English, head of English department, and they say, hey, have you ever read Shakespeare? And you say, what is that? Yeah. So, what I have done is trying to establish for you this evening that the greatest leader who ever walked this earth is Jesus. And the strongest document, the most authoritative book in the universe is the Bible. So now, we can talk. Jesus's opinion on integrity is critical, and the Bible's opinion on integrity is unshakable. Let's see what Jesus says about integrity. First of all, Jesus claims that truth is a person. He says in John 14:6 that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Truth is a person.
Jesus said unto him, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
And Jesus said that the main reason why he was born is to bear witness to the truth. Anyone who is of the truth comes to me, Jesus. Let's read the John 18, what he said before Pontius Pilate. We are taking it all the way from verse 36.
John 18 from 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence.
Yes.
You continue, please. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth.
The reason Jesus came into this world is to bear witness to the truth.
Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.
Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Anyone who does not hear Jesus, you are not of the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, he told the people, the Jews who believed in him, that if you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth has power to set you free.
John 8, 31, 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Jesus believed that anybody who tells lies is of Satan, the devil. Let's read John 8, 44.
John 8, 44 now. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
You see, lies have fathers. And anybody who lies, who is not truth-telling, anybody who is not honest, is not sincere, who avoids truth, who stretches truth, who tells white lies, you know, anybody who is like that is of his father, the devil. Now, even though that is not too pleasant, you need to come from the angle where Jesus is coming. Jesus calls the Father the only true God. In John 17, 3.
John chapter 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth. John chapter 14. Let's read verse 16 and 17.
John 14, 16, 17. And I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you.
Jesus calls the Bible, the scripture, truth. John 17, 17.
John chapter 17, verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
And the apostles call the church the pillar and ground of truth in the whole universe. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15.
1 Timothy 3:15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth.
The church of the living God is the pillar and ground of truth. Is the pillar and ground of truth. Can an African be honest? Can we have an African who tells the truth? Are there any?
Yes.
I want to hear you.
Yeah.
You know, when we went to Mauritania, a South Korean pastor who was pastoring in Mauritania came to our house, and he was traveling to Senegal, the Gambia, and Guinea-Bissau. So in our conversation, we asked him, why are you going there? He said, I have had house helps and maids from Senegal, from Guinea-Bissau, and from Gambia. All of them are thieves. All of them tell lies. And is telling lies and stealing African culture. So because of that, I am going to their country to see whether it is part of African culture to tell lies and to steal from the deep freezer to, you know, I want to know whether it's African culture. So he went, and when he came back, he said, oh, I'm satisfied. And we said, you're satisfied with what? He said, oh, it is African culture. You know, when I started traveling out, I was amazed that a typical British who doesn't go to church, he doesn't believe there is God, is more honest than a typical charismatic pastor. Because when he is in the bus or in the train, he will pay. But if there is an African, they will find a way to dodge the system. The first time I was going to the U.S., they rejected me, U.S. visa. And I came and I slept. So then, you know, my boss said, ah, why? You are not interested in going to the U.S., why? So they took a lawyer. And I went. And so they allowed me to see the counselor. The consular, yes. And he said, you say you have been a pastor in Ghana all these 20 years and you haven't been to a U.S. I said, is U.S. heaven? U.S. is not heaven. If I'm a pastor and heavenly things are being said and I'm not there, it's then that I'll be worried. U.S. is U.S. heaven. And he told me that without fail, the people who have deceived them most in that office are pastors. So I can continue and tell you story after story after story of my personal encounters with my fellow black men in dishonesty and lying and lack of integrity in such a way that sometimes I ask myself, can an African be honest? Can an African, can you meet one African who is honest? You know, we all, without fail, have to examine the impact of Christianity upon our personal lives before we lead. All over the world, every single research on leadership in the whole world, I'm not talking about Christian leadership, I'm talking about all leadership all over the world. The most important single character people look for is honesty. If I can't trust you, I can't follow you. You say we should look down, and you are looking up. When I catch you, you say we should fast, you are eating. When I catch you, you say we should have all night, and you give a prayer topic, and you go and you are sleeping. When I catch you, I won't trust you again. I went to the U.S., and then one guy called me from Chicago. He said, JFK, you know what? because of the way you handled the case of your senior pastor, I've decided never to go to church until I die. Because I can't trust you. The guy who taught me how to drive, when he met me, he told me, you know what? I can never trust you again until I die. Because our head pastor was involved in a case of adultery. And I kept it for 3 years. I spoke to him. We were doing everything to help him to change. And he refused to change. Finally, we had to blow it. And these people were angry with me that, why did I know this? And for 3 years, I kept it. And I didn't tell them. This guy was my driver. He was in the car with me all over. And I told him, I didn't tell my wife. 3 years. Because I was the second in command of the whole church. I knew if I talked, the whole church would split. And there was no human being I could tell without splitting that church. So for 3 years, I kept it. And I was praying. I was pleading with my head pastor to stop. He was doing more. And finally, we had to take a stand. If human beings cannot trust you, you cannot lead them. And they cannot trust you if they don't see a basic level of honesty in you. Full stop. All the corporate world, in the army, in church, that is the truth about leadership. So integrity is not a sermon. When we talk about integrity, that English word is a big word. It carries four faces. It's from a Latin word, integritas. And integritas means something which is whole. This is why in mathematics we say integer as against fraction. You see, whole numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's integer. So, integrity is an inner wholeness. You see, an inner wholeness, an inner conviction and commitment to truth, which is consistent because it passes outside. You leave it outside and it cuts across all your life. Let me say that again. I'm saying, when we say integrity, we are talking about four things. The first is a commitment to truth, honesty. But it is a conviction in the inner part, the deepest part of you. Honesty is not the best policy. Honesty is the only policy. Wow. Then, not only that, it must be consistent because you say you believe that truth, honesty, is right. If you believe it, then you should speak it and walk it. Then we say it's consistent because what you are saying you believe is what you are walking. Matthew chapter 12, 23 verse 2, Jesus was saying that the Pharisees were hypocrites because they say but they don't do.
Matthew 23:2, saying the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not.
They say and they don't do. Lack of integrity. Jesus, Acts chapter 1 verse 1, this is what Jesus began to do and to teach.
Acts integrity. 1:1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Jesus do teach. Pharisees teach, don't do. That's what we mean by consistency. In that case, even though it's confusing, if I tell you that I believe there is nothing wrong with stealing, and I steal your mobile phone, I have integrity. I have integrity because I believe there is nothing wrong with stealing. That's what I believe. Therefore, when I steal your mobile phone, I have integrity. If I say I believe there's nothing wrong with chasing people's wives and I start chasing your wife, that's integrity. Because I say there's nothing wrong with it and I'm doing it. Do you understand? If you say it is wrong to steal, but you steal, you lack integrity. So, we call it conviction. A conviction is what you are prepared to die for. You don't only believe it. You are sold out to it. You are prepared to die for it. You see? This is why when Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 verse 10, he knew that they had signed the papers that anybody who prays will be thrown into the den of lions. Then he went into his room, opened the window and prayed 3 times. It's a conviction. He was thrown to the lion's den, but I'm convinced. You see, Daniel 3 from verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego told Nebuchadnezzar that don't trouble yourself, because look, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. But even if he does not, we won't bow down to your gods. You see, they knew that there was a fiery furnace, but they had a conviction. Ruth chapter 1 from verse 16 to 18. Ruth told Naomi, don't persuade me to stop following you. Because where you go, I will go. Where you sleep, I will sleep. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. God do so to me and more, if anything but death should part the two. That's what we call conviction. A lot of pastors don't have a conviction about truth and honesty. You have to understand that all liars will go to the lake of fire. That's Revelation 21 verse 8. You can read that one.
Revelation chapter 21 verse 8 now. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Now, even if you don't believe this one, let's read chapter 21 verse 14, 15.
Revelation 22, 14, 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie.
Now, if those two don't convince you, then let's go.
The NIV.
Okay. Then let's go to Proverbs.
Yes.
You see,
We are in the NIV.
Yeah. I loving and practicing falsehood should be able to convince you. But what I'm trying to put across is that there is no doubt in the mind of the writers of the Bible that all liars will go to hell. Do you understand? If you doubt it, that's your problem. But the writers of the Bible don't have a doubt that all liars will go to hell. Because telling lies is not your mouth. It's not your mouth that tells lies. It's not your tongue that tells lies. Do you understand? In Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So whenever your mouth tells a lie, it's because basically in your heart, you are a liar.
Matthew 12:34. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh.
You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You tell lies because you are a liar. Basically, in the core of your being, you see, the thing is coming from your heart, not from your mouth, your tongue. If they cut your tongue, it's a waste of time. Because you can even use your head to lie. In Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 16 to 19, the Bible says that there are six things which God hates, and the seventh is an abomination. And he lists the, and you listen to the list.
Proverbs 6:16 onwards. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue.
It is okay. Psalm 101 verse 7 tells us that, you know, liars, God is not interested in having them in his presence.
He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house.
He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house.
He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight.
He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. You see, I want you to understand that it is the posture of heaven that truth and lying, falsehood, don't mix. No good tree brings forth bad fruit. No bad tree brings forth good fruit. A tree is known by its fruit. That's Matthew chapter 7, all the way from verse 15 to verse 20. You are like this because you are like this. You see, no mango tree can produce a coconut. When you lie or you are false, it's because you are basically like that. Is somebody getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can't lead people by deceiving them all the time. Some of them you will deceive most of the time. But all of them, no. They will find out. And when they do find out, the distraction you cause, it is more difficult to believe a person after he has deceived you than to keep on believing him when he doesn't deceive you. Should I say that again?
Yeah.
If you find out that your wife has been flirting, but whenever you ask her, she says, oh, there's nothing between us. There's nothing between us. And one day you are able to arrest her. You will see that when she says, oh, this is the first time, it's difficult to believe her. But if you tell somebody the truth, and the person doesn't believe you, but the person goes round and finds out that is the truth, from that time, it's easier to believe you. So, I know how you are feeling. You are feeling like if that's the case, then who can be saved? Because Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 verse 3 and 4, it was their own property. They sold it and they kept back part of the money. That money didn't belong to the church. It didn't belong to Peter. It was their own money. And the power not to bring the money at all was in their hands. But they brought some. And he and the wife agreed that we shall say this is all we got for the land. That's where the lie came in. And Peter asked him, is this all you got for the land? He said, yes. He said, why? Why? Why are you lying to the Holy Spirit? When you didn't sell the land, it was your own. After selling it, the money was your own. You bring part and you say, this is all. You have not lied to men. You have lied to God. And he died. And great fear fell on all those who told lies that Sunday morning. Then the wife came in. And Peter asked, is this what you got for the land? And she said, yes. He said, have you agreed with your husband to tempt the spirit of the Lord? The people who buried your husband, they are around. They will carry you two beside him. And bah, she fell down. And they went and buried. Now, you need to understand that this is the New Testament. Some people have a crazy idea that because we are under grace, God has mellowed his standards. That's your own theology. Yes, wait till you meet him. And you will see that you have to apologize to Ananias and Sapphira. God will make sure that this generation apologizes to Sodom and Gomorrah before what he will do with us, he will do it. Because they didn't go so far. You see? Look at Gehazi. You, Elijah, the man of God, with the anointing such that he did not die. He refused to die. They sent a V8 4x4 to come and collect him for heaven. And Elisha asked for a double portion of that oil. So God split the Jordan for the whole Israel to pass. But for the stroll of Elijah and Elisha, he opened the Jordan. And they strolled to the other side. And because of the anointing, the last miracle of Elijah before he went to heaven was the first miracle of Elisha. He took Elijah's mantle, hit the Jordan and said, where is the God of Elijah? And the Jordan parted for him alone. And he walked through. This anointing was available to Gehazi. He could have asked for a double portion of that. But instead, he was interested in Naaman's gold and clothing. You see, let me come to the last part of my message. We need to understand why God is wild when a Christian is dishonest. You are exercising faith for money, and your general overseer's purse falls down. Korianda baka, shega kianda baka kianda, gekia makima korianda la baka kima ket. And when they close, said, God, thank you for answering this prayer. Thank you for answering my prayer. Oh, Lord. You see, are you not a thief? Is that faith? Is that faith? Why? That is the command, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet another person's purse. Why? But before, I'm going to close with the fact that God and the angels don't understand us. Because in Ezekiel 36, from verse 25 to 27, God promised that I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of you and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and my judgments. This is the new covenant provision.
Ezekiel 36, 25 to 27.
Yeah.
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
Please, the New Testament tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are become new. You are in Christ. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27b says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 says, as many as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. According to Romans chapter 6, I think we need to read that one. Verse 2, verse 6, verse 11, verse 14.
Romans 6, 2. First, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
The argument starts from verse 1. He says, some people will say that, oh, we are under grace. Let's sin. What is this grace? You're under grace. You are living by the law. You're too legalistic. I'm under grace. I don't worry about this. And he's saying, how can you say that? You are dead to sin. How can you live in sin? Verse 6.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Henceforth, we should not serve sin. Verse 11.
11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin.
Count yourself dead to sin. Dead to sin.
But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
And 14.
For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want to push to you some Bible verses which, if you don't read them, you won't believe them. The first one is John 14, 20.
John chapter 14, verse 20. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father.
At that day, Jesus speaking, you will know that I am in my Father.
And ye in me.
And you are in me.
And I in you.
And I am in you. Listen, Jesus is saying, I am in the Father, you are in me, I am in you. Meaning, if anybody wants to touch you, he has to kill the Father, kill Jesus, before he can have access to you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4.
Colossians 3, 3 and 4. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
You are dead. Your life is hidden with Christ inside God. Yes, verse 4.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
When Christ, who is our life, shall appear.
Then shall he also appear with him in glory.
Say it with me. Christ is my life.
Christ is my life.
Christ is my life. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says that. Look, anybody who joins himself to Jesus, you become one spirit with Jesus.
But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit.
Say, I am one spirit with Jesus.
I am one spirit.
1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. Now, what about the other pictures? There are at least 10 pictures in the Bible which show that if you are born again, there is a certain union between you and Jesus that makes it such that you are no longer living on this earth alone. I don't want us to read them. I just want to paint them. The first one is the John 15 one. Jesus says, I am the true vine. You are the branches. The second one is Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Jesus is the bridegroom. You are the bride. The third one is Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Jesus is the firstborn. You are his brother and sister. The fourth picture is John 15 from verse 13 to 15. Jesus says he is your friend. He no longer calls you servants. The fifth picture is Ephesians 2, 20 to 22. He says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone and we are living stones with him, being built on that temple. In John chapter 10, verse 11 and 14, he paints another picture that he is the good shepherd. We are his sheep. He lays down his life for us. Verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice. In Matthew chapter 11, from verse 28 to 30, Jesus says that, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And learn of me. It means just as two animals, two cows or donkeys are put into a yoke together, Jesus is in one part of the yoke, you are in the second part. Jesus is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek, Hebrews chapter 5, and we are royal priesthood. What do we do when we go for communion service? John 5:53-56 says, we eat the flesh of Jesus and we drink his blood, and he is in us. His blood is running in our blood. What do we do when we get into baptism? Romans 6:3-4 says, we die with Jesus, we are buried with Jesus in the water and raised with him to newness of life. What shall we say then? Revelation 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he will eat with me. My argument this evening is that you can stop lying. If you want, you can break the chain of falsehood, Bosman no fear, tire man, this telling white lies, evading the truth, exaggerating, stretching the truth, trying to give opinions which are not strictly true about yourself and all that. You can decide that from tonight, I am breaking off that life. Today, liars can win. But tomorrow, they will have to remember which lie they told today to patch up for tomorrow. A person who tells the truth does not have to remember anything, because the truth is the truth every day. And if the whole world is against what is right, it doesn't make it right. Wrong is wrong, even if everybody votes for it. Today, you can suffer for it, but tomorrow, you will win. 2 Corinthians 13:8 says, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For the truth. I want us Africans to make a resolve. So when we rise up to pray, I don't want everybody to get up. You know, I had to take Hebrew and Greek in one of our Bible colleges, colleges in this country. And the exam was tough. And in the exam room, I saw pastors cheating. How will you like it if the pilot who is flying your plane cheated in exams to pass? The doctor who is operating you, he cheated in exams to pass. How will you like it if our architects, engineers, they are cheating in exams to pass before building our structures? How would you like it? You see? Why? At first we said it was the police. One day when my wife is happy, I'll give her the mic to tell you about what happens among the teachers. Because she was working at GES. Then the banks. You know? Then the judges. You don't need an ass to be on your shoulders before you do what is right. Before you tell the truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, it's time to pray, but I don't want everybody to get up. I want only people who want to take a decision that from today you are going to kick off lying from your life and tell the truth. Even if it's expensive, just tell the truth. And tell it. When you deceive somebody, go back and tell the person that what I told you last time was a lie. You see? Tell your church members, I am a pastor, but last time I deceived you. Instead of being angry with you, you will be surprised that they begin to trust you more. You see? Tell the truth, you won't die. After all, if you tell them the truth now, if they find out tomorrow, nobody will blame you. So even Pastor has been saying that. But if you keep it hidden and the thing comes out, you can't stand. Cain was able to lie in his teeth to God. God asked him, where is your brother Abraham? He said, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? A human being lying to God. That's where you can get to. Can an African be honest? All the stories from US, UK, the visa office, they are tired. Because we have found ways of cheating every system, computer. When a black man gets somewhere, you know, there was a case from Germany like that, and you know, they allow you to try a suit on, and this shop in Germany, our black brothers will go try the new suit and leave the old suit and walk out, And you know, most of the things in Europe are based on trust. So they saw that the new suits were going out and old suits were being left. So instead of arresting them, what they did was they brought some very big dogs. And if you don't pay for any suit and you go out, the dogs chase you. Come and see, these are our black brothers. Dogs chasing them, they will fall down between the legs. I actually sat on one case, and a man and his wife, he was sleeping at midnight. The wife got up and he thought the husband was sleeping, not knowing the man was awake. And she tiptoed to the man's pocket and stole money from the husband's pocket. And the man caught her red-handed. And I had to sit on that case. This is where it has got to. You see? This is it. You are so dishonest that even your very husband, you are stealing money from his pocket at night when he's sleeping. We have a problem, brothers and sisters. So we are going to pray, but only people who have made a resolve to stop lying, only they should get up. And this is the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Another test of whether you are sincere.
If you have decided, if you have not yet decided, you sit down. I'm coming again tomorrow. And please, if you stand up, what you are doing is that you are telling God and man and witnesses that for me, I would rather die than lie. I want to be honest. I want to tell the truth. I want to live the truth. If I don't know about it, if I do something, you know, I didn't know that it was like this and I said this, when I find out, I clear the records. That's integrity. Everybody knows that. You know, Abimelech told God that, he told me that's a sister. And the girl too said that's a brother. That's why I took her for my wife. Me, it's integrity. And God said, yeah. You are correct. So please, if you stand up, it's a decision you have taken. We have to break this thing. That the African can be honest. Our black skin doesn't mean we have black blood. We can tell the truth. We can be honest. And let's stand up to it. Let's demonstrate to Ghana and the rest of Africa that we can have honest pastors. We can have people, when you have a change and the money is more, when you go to the bank and there is some money in your bank account which is more than yours, your salary, you can honestly say, why? What is happening? No, this money is not mine. No. Why? Is it every money you chop before you will be satisfied? Hallelujah. And if you stand up, please, it's not only for this conference. It's not for this synod alone. It means for the rest. Are we on the same page?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know, I have a Bible college now. There's one guy there who is teaching with me. He was my elder at Hohwe for 12 years. And he told me one day, Pastor, you know why I've decided to follow you? When the church split, the monies that belong to the former church, the tithes and offerings from the former church, they brought it to you. And you said, that's the former church's money. You don't want to have anything to do with it. And we took it. And that from that day, I told myself that everywhere you go, I'll go with you. Are you with me? Some of the people hanging around you, if they see that you are dishonest, they will, you lose them in their heart. They are with you, but they are not with you. They don't trust you. Shall we be on our feet? No. I don't believe you. Please sit down. Please sit down. Please sit down. You didn't hear me well. I am saying that anybody who stands up, you are taking a vow before God and these witnesses that I want to live a life of integrity, honesty, truth. I want to be transparent. I want to live a life of honesty. And not only for this synod, for the rest of my life. Please, is it okay?
Yeah.
Shall I have on their feet people who know that they know that they know that from today they are on the honesty list? Amen. Nobody will arrest you if you don't get up. Okay. Please lift up your hands and say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, you are the truth. Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of truth. Father God, you are the only true God. Your word is truth. Your church is the pillar and ground of truth. Today, I declare in the presence of all the heavenly hosts and these witnesses that I commit myself to honesty, to tell the truth at whatever cost. So help me, God. Please just pray. Just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord. Kirianda la baka shiga kika. Ngorianda hapaka kima kinda la baka. Nkeki kamaka kianda baka shega kianda. Nkerianda la baka kianda. Ngeki kamaha baka kima kinda la baka. Shaki kamaha baka kianda baka shega. Amen. Heavenly Father, this is the beginning of an army of truth-telling, honest, sincere people who do what is right. They live for what is right. And anything that does not square, they don't have to want to have anything to do with it. Spirit of God, I invite you to give each person an encounter this night, to meet us on our paths and break the power of dishonesty, disloyalty, and lack of integrity. In the name of Jesus, that our ministries will be solidly grounded on honesty, transparency, truth from this time forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Please sit down.